Blog Talk Radio. Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Bobby Hewitt here in St. Louis. Just want to do an interview dealing with the dark side, of course, because I know that's your that's what you have brought to the quote-unquote conscious community. One of the first to bring it out, dealing with the occult, and I got a give it up to you, man, because I remember when I first saw your lecture, one of your the first lecture I saw was back in 97 with you, and I think it was the one you did to gather the masters at Valentine's Crib, and I was blown away, and as time went on, when you got to drop in on the got into, really deep into the dark side, I was like, wow, now this is some new shit. Now, since we had you here in St. Louis, you dropped some new names on us, some new entities that came through, and this is some next level shit here, because how I see it, you know, it ain't the shit that our people just romanticizing with the deities of the old, but we got some new power on the scene that the white boys ain't got right. A hold to. Now we can really get some kick ass going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I really want to get well, my man, he said he wanted to call it Tales from the Dark Side. You know what I'm saying?
A ghetto tales from the dark side. So,
Wanted
to put on the Baphomet.
Yeah, put on the Baphomet. We gotta have that.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta have that.
Yeah.
So how'd you get into that? To the dark side.
Basically, all of this thing is It's not wanting to be evil. It's not wanting to be like carve your own niche. Basically, it is wanting to know knowledge bad enough, receive knowledge bad enough to know the truth, where you're not going to leave any stones unturned.
Okay.
I didn't get into the conscious movement or self-aggrandizement. I didn't start lecturing because I wanted to be a lecturer. I started lecturing because people chose me.
Okay. Okay.
I had, you know, and my sincerity was my credentials.
Mm-hmm.
So this means, because I'm not trying to make a name for myself, I could go in and treat the research with a certain eye that won't flinch when I see something that is contrary to what I believe or what I'm trying to put forth as a platform.
That was not my job.
My job basically was to find the truth, no matter what or how hard it hurt.
Right.
At any cost, by any means necessary.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, in the research, it would lead to several things. You know, and you go in and you unravel layers and layers and layers and layers. And the more and more your knowledge expands, the more and more the concepts of dogma, the concepts of indoctrination, the concepts of fear and ignorance unravels. And then you understand that knowledge is science and spirituality is science. And you should approach knowledge, the attainment of knowledge, and the understanding of spirituality the same way you would approach scientific analysis. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Now, if you got someone in science and something made this person gravely ill, and the only way you're going to find out what made this person gravely ill, the last resort was there was a piece of feces, shit, laying there. And you check all of the body, but you know that the last thing or the last place this could be would be in that shit. And you as a scientist know that you got to dissect that shit or that feces or that excrement, you know, excrement, to get to the bottom of what you're trying to find. You wouldn't hesitate in science to do that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You wouldn't say, oh, this is stink, this is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? This is scientific. It's not moralistic. It's not grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with being proper etiquette. You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with being popular.
Right.
You see, so science and knowledge and spirituality is the same way. It's all one and the same. And when you separate it, then you put yourself as a deficit. You marginalize yourself. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And you no longer can have the opportunity to complete the full course.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So you have to obliterate any possibility of something hindering you from getting to the truth. You see what I'm saying? So in the course of the studies, my goal, my ultimate goal, when I started out, now it's changed in the process of how I thought it might go down. But when I started out, my ultimate goal was to get to the bottom of freeing black people.
Okay.
Or even postulate the question inquire and diligently research and detect and try to retrieve an answer. And if that is the only way you can do it, if that is the only thing that you are interested in, you will stop at nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You will stop at nothing. You see, a mother's going to make sure her child eats no matter what. So it's a matter of survival. So it has nothing to do with choice. In the aspect, you have no choice. You have to continue if you're honest with yourself. So it's pure heart. So in the course of that, me knowing that I'm trying to get some type of breakthrough, the first level is to research history. And you have to research and try to find out, is there any way possible that our people can be liberated and liberated freely on the physical,
right,
social, economical, you see what I'm saying, and geographical level. You research all of that.
Okay.
In 1990, me and a group of brothers from Clark Atlanta University, some of the brothers was in grad school, most of the brothers was finishing up, was finishing up school. Some was already out. I was already out. But we used to live in this house near the campus, right up the street from the campus of Clark Atlanta University. And for an entire summer, we sat in that house. And we used to be up late night, early mornings, all day and all night, trying to find out solutions to get our people out of this horrible and wretched condition. You see what I'm saying? And we would ponder every type of solution there could be. And at this particular time, it was all based on, could we free black people physically?
Right.
So everybody had all of their types of stuff that they would do.
Right.
Well, I would get them out of this country. We'd take them to Brazil first before they trained to go to Africa, because Brazil is climate is closely, and the tropical thing is closely related to Africa, so we would go to Brazil first before we go back to Africa. You know, just, it might sound ridiculous, but we didn't, the group of brothers, five and six or seven at a time, would try to, any possible scenario, you know, from economics to everything. And the more we pondered, the more difficult it became to find an ultimate solution to the physical.
Okay.
Because the more and more certain things made common sense, we would find other scenarios to say, this would not happen, this would not work in no circumstance. Certain things you have to figure.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Other things in psychology, you see what I'm saying? Economics, geography, you see what I'm saying? And every move of what the enemy was going to make.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? What your enemy was going to make. after about 2 or 3 years of studying all of the historical concepts, the political concepts, the revolutionary concepts, you became increasingly frustrated and angry, because remember now, not only are you plunged into this world of trying to find out a difference, your people's behavior is getting worse and worse and worse. Not necessarily just because you are pondering into it, but the more knowledge you have, the more sick you know these people are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see, you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So it becomes increasingly frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time you're searching for breakthroughs.
Okay.
And the first question was asked, well, what are we going to do about black people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the conclusion was made by me and a couple of other people that our answer was going to be a spiritual one, one that's going to be a physical one.
Mm-hmm.
We already knew it was not going to be a religious one.
Right.
Because the Afrocentric and historical movement made sure that we come up out of that by unraveling that bullshit falsehood
first.
Mm-hmm. So we knew that the spiritual aspect was going to be rooted in that what we sought to replace religion with, and that was the ancient spiritual systems. The second aspect is we got to find out what is the ancient spiritual system, and if there is an ancient spiritual system, where is it, and does it still exist today?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I got that.
So in this particular case, that led me to the New Age movement, the metaphysical movement, you see, in the occult realm. When we find this occult realm, we find out, number one, that it not only is it the Egyptian mystery system, the one that we were looking for, or the ancient indigenous African Atlantean Lemurian mystery system that is completely masked in European propaganda history.
Okay.
Totally whitewashed. All elements of race in African culture, in indigenous culture, completely wiped out. This is why these disciplines, for about 150 years since white folks had a resurgence in bringing this stuff together for themselves, had went about completely completely masked to anybody of indigenous culture, because they had carefully came in, you see, and sifted out indigenous ancient culture that would eventually lead to the most ancient of cultures and the most ancient of people, black people. Mm-hmm. Then, systematically weave in negative connotations of the Africans and the Africans' magic with terms such as black magic, satanic, demonic. You see what I'm saying? religions about 2,000 years ago brought forth this mind control and this propaganda machine that, number one, anything truly spiritual to begin with is evil. You see what I'm saying? That's the first level. Number two, anything that is spiritual and is more advanced, you see what I'm saying, is completely satanic. You see? So, as you first enter into these disciplines, they start off with all of this light magic, these light disciplines. And as they become, when I'm saying light, it would equate light as good. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
With the lesser repertoire of these mysteries. But as you go into more sophisticated and more profound secrets that is beyond moralism.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Beyond wickedness. The very things that was beyond moralism, wickedness, would be in fact called wicked, dark, black. And meanwhile, it would also be a code that dark and black would actually be the dark people or the black people's magic.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery.
One, black magic is only because it's a black man's magic. Of the dark racist magic. Or science. We want to preface this. Because when I first started pondering these disciplines, and I even asked one of the white boys, why is all this stuff named magic? He said, you have to, first of all, define what you think magic is.
Right.
What you think magic is mostly is what you've been taught magic was all your life.
By somebody else.
Well, not only that. Your concept of magic is different than what magic would mean in the ancient world. Magic in the modern world is tricks. So you know Dr. David Copperfield,
right.
Doug Hennings.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right, David Blaine.
David Blaine, Siegfried and Roy, and all kinds of illusionists. And that's not magic of the ancient world. Magic of the ancient world is a spiritual, scientific aspect of manipulating the laws of the universe and the elemental spirits around you. See what I'm saying? It is the highest form of science. From the physical to the metaphysical. You see what I'm saying? Not tricks. So you've been taught, number one, that magic has something to do with tricks, illusions. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And it has nothing to do with science. You see what I'm saying?
Can I ask you a point?
Yeah.
So at this point, once you discover that this was the direction that you you needed to go, I mean, what then made you say, okay, well, let me go out here and do it? And were you,
actually doubtful about how this type of thing would be received because it wasn't, you know, starting to get dark. I don't think you imagined that it would be.
Well, first of all, I never really looked at it as something that I needed to give to the people and was interested in what they was receiving. This was, first of all, imperative for my own personal will to know, my need to know, my desire to know. You see what I'm saying? And I never went about this thing as what type of discipline that I'm going to dabble into that's going to be the correct thing to teach the people. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It has nothing to do or had anything to do with some type of performance, some type of acceptance. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It was the need to know, and it was going along the path and not hindering myself on the path of enlightenment and being honest enough to turn over all stones and not be content with the first thing that I felt that was comfortable enough to call it the ultimate knowledge. And one of the motivating factors was if I woke up the next morning and I was still here and my condition was the same, I would always have work to do until I would receive the proper results or the proper understanding, you see what I'm saying, of what was needed to be done. Get it? So the criteria was not anything outside of my own personal search. And to the public, I'll have to just report my research and my findings. You see what I'm saying? One thing about it that I was sure from the beginning, that I didn't come to speak to the complete audience. Only those, you see what I'm saying, who was looking for answers also.
The elite.
Right. A circle within a circle within a circle.
Left within left.
Yes. You see. So, number one, some of it is just basic warfare. If your enemy kills you,
were you recently injured in a car accident?
Look at this check for $160,000.
Not to go into something. And to be careful of something.
You probably should go into it.
And to stay away from something. Not only should you probably go into it, you should run to it. He is your enemy.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Then, now, doing the historical aspect and just being in America, from an ancient perspective and a modern perspective, you would have to be an idiot not to know who the damn the enemy was. Make no bones about it. The enemy in the modern world, and every human on this planet should know who the enemy is. And that's white folks. Even if you are white, you should know. You should be comfortable with your own race. Well, other people do diabolical things too, but don't let this be perfectly clear. back to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It is Europeans. You understand what I'm saying? That is a fact. And anybody else is thinking otherwise is in a grave illusion. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's in an illusion. You know. And the more and more the enemy insists that you turn away from something, the more and more you need to look into that. And then the magic really starts, the mystery really starts. Because not only are you going to find out that this man is the enemy, you're going to find out that he is a little enemy. He is not the ultimate conspirator. He is only a pawn in the game of some forces that's much greater than him. And those forces themselves would be the very same gods that we was taught and would learn to trust in with all our lives.
Well, if you have, if you seem to have this split between, you know, people are always trying to talk about, you have your white magic, your black magic, that type of thing. And you kind of, you went toward that a little bit earlier. But what I mean is, so why does it have to be dark? You know what I mean? I mean, in this world, this time, why, if you're going to be practicing your magic, why does it have to be dark? Or why is there a need for it to be dark? Why do we need to understand that?
What we're dealing with here is people categorizing things. And then the categorization becoming even more distorted. You see what I'm saying? People labeling things. And then that itself, after time goes on, would get to be misunderstood, you see. So what used to be bleach, water, you see what I'm saying, fire, air, you see, paper, steel, polarities, and different degrees of science will later on become psychological things like wicked and that type of evil, you know, categorize that. So we're talking about something that is highly scientific and it has nothing to do with moralism and anything personal, but just understanding the nature of the way the earth works. Nature itself is a series of changes. Some of these changes very violent. See what I'm saying? And the misunderstanding when you categorize things, and later on people would misunderstand things, is the same scenario I'm getting ready to give you. If someone or some woman giving birth to a child.
Right.
Violent birth to a child. Muscles is ripping. Blood is spewing. She's hollering. Pain is all around you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is a necessary and a common function. It's just nature itself. And someone coming in and taking the experience of childbirth, mythologizing it into something negative and evil. See what I'm saying? It's no different than the standard human which is the stock human, the standard human, the prototype human, which was black people around the earth, later on, our own physical features will be recategorized as ugly. No difference. We can look at a pattern of our history and see that our own very lives as the people that are the teachers of humanity looked upon as not even being human, looked upon as not even being competent. You see what I'm saying? Looked upon as not even being adequate. Keep on coming from here?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same particular concept when it comes to this wide body of knowledge. Someone coming in, you see what I'm saying? And seeing pimples break out of a teenager's face based on hormones just going through puberty. And they looking and saying, that is evil and wicked whenever you see those pimples. And that acne on teenager's face. And we know we have a whole group of people, because we're just talking about basically ignorance. The ancient Egyptians, the ancient Calamites said that evil is ignorant.
Yep.
Ignorance is evil. And we know we have history of Europeans just being ignorant of things and judging people because of it. They hung, maligned, killed, plundered all over the world things that they didn't understand. They labeled as evil, abnormal, unusual, all because of ignorance. You know what I'm saying? All because of ignorance.
Right.
You see? So it's easy if we can see aspect after aspect and example of our regular lives, how things can be misunderstood over a course of time and ignorance. That when it comes to magic or a greater level of science, you see what I'm saying? That not only would be misconstrued based on ignorance, but also a conspiracy to hide the truth and to keep the higher knowledge away from the masses and from certain groups that lost it. And those groups are now, which is us black people, unpopular with the society. You see what I'm saying? That holds those groups captive and as subjects. You get it?
Got it.
So, as a result, the first thing we got to start with was in the aspect of removing the ultimate fear. We're not dealing with religion anymore. And we must ask this question in what the hell is Satan? And why the object or the adversary of religion, since we're not dealing with religion anymore, then what is the origin of this? You see what I'm saying? And one of the first clues was when I heard Charles Finch, Dr. Charles Finch say, before I even studied it in General Massey and did my own research, it just a light came on in my head. He said that the Hyksos, or a group of Egyptians, were Set worshippers.
Yep.
But I said, wait a minute, hold on. Number one, because the Afrocentric movement was saying that Set was the devil.
Right.
See, here's the first mistake. They're taking modern mindset, terminologies, you see what I'm saying, and methods of research and thought trying to understand ancient thought and mindset. And you cannot understand the ancient model with the modern model. You can find you can understand more of the modern model by researching your ancient past, but you can definitely not understand the ancient model from the modern model. So we, the Afrocentric movement, approached this thing the wrong way. They saw Horus and Set, or Osiris and Set, and automatically assumed that Set Typhon was the devil and all that goes with him. You see. So the first thing happened was, because I've been taught a few years that Set Typhon was the devil of Set, and we learned to look at him as the devil. And then the first thing I heard was, Hyksos were Set worshippers, or there were groups of Egyptian Set worshippers. And then the light comes on in the head. Ah! Well, why would anybody worship Set? That's the first aspect. Then, if the Egyptians or the Kamites were supposed to be more advanced than the people we would ever see again on the earth, then why are they stupid enough to worship Set?
Well, they do it right.
Or was Set something totally different than what the modern man is thinking it was? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
What the modern man was thinking it was.
Okay.
And the works of Gerald Massey would be the greater explanation of it. Ancient Egypt, Light of the World, the last books in 1907. Natural Genesis, the middle books in 1888. And the first volumes, all of the two volumes, says Volume 1 and Volume 2. And the first two volumes, Book of the Beginnings, the Book of the Beginnings, 1881. Which is a very same scholarship that Charles Finch was getting his information from. You see?
Right.
Which explains not a world of good and evil, but a world of politics. One priesthood usurping the other priesthood. In this case, the latter priesthood, usurping the earlier priesthood and degrading or systematically leveling their chief god, a chief system of philosophy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Then you find this is political. Then all of a sudden, and this is the origin of what is evil, if we don't have anything older than Set as the primordial devil, then you will understand that this is a 5,000 year or no later than 3,000 year odyssey that was in fact started long before white folks even got on the planet. Or either was even able to even talk. You see what I'm saying? That later on would get out of hand and would be the overriding tool or scope of religion, good versus evil. Then we gotta ask the question, then what is this evil?
Right.
If it's not the wicked and the moral aspect, what is the scientific aspect of this evil? It simply is the primordial activity and functions of that which existed before creation. Doesn't make it bad. You see what I'm saying? It is that which is prior to creation. You see?
That you mean that life.
That life, that system.
Mm-hmm. Or way, isn't it? I mean, isn't it kind of ironic that live is part of evil? If you turn
that's right. You can go as far as to say that not only is it that before creation, that it would set up a pattern that evil would be that that is prior to anything modern. That would be a pattern that would repeat itself throughout history. We can just take Egyptian civilization and just in the dynastic period, you know, we're talking about millions of years after creation in the dynastic period, they make something evil out of that that preceded it.
Now why,
earlier priesthood.
And why did they do that?
It is an age-old question that haunts man. And the ultimate one is simply ignorance. The misunderstanding of something that might be a little more remote that you can contemplate. And they say over and over again, that which the later generations do not understand, they swept in a trash pile of moralism, of evil and wicked. So the Typhonian Egyptian, which is pre-dynastic Egyptians, become evil to the dynastic Egyptians. Several schools later, our Hebrew set, which is Egyptians, would label all of Kemet evil or Egyptian evil. And a Christian set, which spawns out of a combination of different different groups, but of that time and later on labeled Hebrew evil. And a Muslim set that is the direct derivative of lineage of the Christian and the Hebrew, but later on named Christianity evil. And all modern concepts of what is called religion will later on name all the ancient world evil. So first it started out with priesthood of scientific views, leveling the other aspect because they didn't understand certain practices that had gone on thousands of years before. Meanwhile, you must understand this. This is not just a few years in contriving or making this thing happen. This is thousands of years. We're talking about the pre-dynastic aspect would be equivalent to almost maybe 10,000 years compared to the dynasty. It's just that old. So it is natural for them to come on the scene and things deteriorate or certain mysteries of knowledge or misunderstandings. The knowledge would be lost and misunderstandings would occur if they would start calling the other ones evil. Or we can go on to say this. That we exacerbated it more by not understanding that even those in the ancient world might have not been talking about the same kind of evil that we're talking about here. Because it is interesting here that all of the pharaohs that we look at, they're always standing between Horus and Seth. And if they're standing between Horus and Seth, then we ask this particular question. Were these polarities? Or was it wicked? Now, if we take modern concept of religion, and we would have God and the archangels as we dare not call it a pantheon, but they're supposed to be monotheistic.
right.
But we know that the archangels used to be pantheon of letters.
Right.
We would take these archangels, and they would be in the court of God. God, Jesus, the archangels.
Okay.
And you would call that the heaven realm. By no means would that pantheon ever have Satan among them present. Well, why is it that we can take the same Egyptian pantheon and Set is always present in the lineup of gods?
Yep, sure is.
And obviously, we are even looking at this thing from a standpoint of not understanding that they didn't view this same wickedness and these taboos of uncertainties and fear when it came to their deities. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
At least the high priest did. And there might have been some tricks played on the common folk, but which in this particular case, the common folk can't never understand that no way. You see? So now, we're unraveling these things and we've gotten beyond the spookism of understanding science at its core. That dark simply means, number one, more powerful, more ancient. You see what I'm saying? And ultimately, the doorway. You see what I'm saying? Because obviously, the enemy, both the gods and the adversary on earth, you see, want to keep you away from it.
So when you, so then if we understand that then, so how now are we supposed to apply it against the enemy or live then?
Well, going deeper into the endeavors of knowledge, you find out even greater mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
If there's really no enemy, there's only role-playing and illusions set up by the architects of the gods in heaven that are pulling the strings in the first place. And you ultimately find out that those particular gods in the heavens no longer exist. And in so many words, the only enemy is the ignorance of our own minds.
Wow. But I mean, that sounds like, I mean, the Zeus shit where, you know, where the gods were manipulating the lives of the people.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. But what about, but it's now here, but on white folk things?
Huh?
White people. I mean,
let's take the movie The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
They know that there was a grand architect. He saw the big white man with the beard.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that architect would be, would, when you would figure out who he was he would be the actual person that's responsible for these illusions.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, his army was the agents. So one is the extension of the other. In this case, the Europeans are one of the extensions of the demiurge. And all of that demiurge and those particular entities of those forces now no longer have the power, and some are even dead. His extension is still permeating the planet. You see what I'm saying? And in this particular case, it is the European. You see what I'm saying? It is the European.
Meaning they're the agents.
They're the agents. And not only are they the agents, they set up a system now that makes the subjects, which would be the original people caught in this mess, enemies. And not only did they set up a system, in later life, the human system itself set up by the architect of these gods in the heavens that no longer exist is also a form of the enemy. So humanity itself is the enemy. And that, my friend, is the ultimate riddle on why you would label things dark in the first place. It's a conspiracy for the modern man or the modern adversary to keep you out of something is to tell you that it is wicked. And it is a conspiracy in the aspect of the greater scheme of things of the people who set up this earth is to always keep man himself away from the mysteries that those gods, a set of gods, will also be evil. And the earth itself, existence itself, can also be evil. I know I'm going way ahead of myself.
No, it ties in, though.
But it all ties in.
Yeah.
We just urge people to, sometimes it, things line up this way, because we urge people to never be satisfied with getting everything off of one tape.
Mm-hmm.
But we got enough information. I have enough tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's clearly enough books out here to understand the greater aspect of what I'm trying to put forth.
Okay.
What I'm trying to put forth.
Okay. Well, just that's one other thing I want you to clarify.
Yeah.
So when you say the architect, is that, so what, somebody started this shit and then they just poofed, you know what I mean? And then this spirit left, affected these white people in such a way that they decided they wanted to.
Well, I think that's kind of premature. We have to go all the way back to the beginning of this, prior to the earth aspect, because this didn't start the world as we know. This started in the heavens. It started in the origin. It started in the primordial.
Okay.
Of the womb.
Okay, I understand.
Where you would actually have a renegade or a tyrant that would be a tyrant of a universal primordial family breaking away and trying to create a universe of its own outside of the original source, botches the job, but nevertheless creates a simulation of the original source, which can only be acted out as a series of illusions to support this fucking botchery. And the ultimate deterioration of misfortune is that the very essence or light particles or souls that is in the primordial world of the original source will eventually get trapped. Cosmic abortion that was set up by this tyrant and would have to be a part of this tyrannical creation for years to eventually clean this shit up.
Okay.
That would make the original source greater than the original source was, that would have a flaw in it to even create a tyrant that would break away from the original source. And it would never fall again. So in so many words, we're only talking about creation sifting out flaws of its own
essence.
To make a greater and perfected product.
Yeah. Now, so many words from the beginning.
Yeah.
There was no perfection.
Yes. That's why they call it chaos.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now, that was the scientific element. The other element was you had the Great Mother. She had a son on abortion who didn't stay in long enough to form itself to maturity. The jump shift comes down and creates its own childlike world, like a child would do. A child's world is going to be different than an adult's world. The adult's world is going to be more fortified. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And more to the essence.
Like
and the essence.
Mm-hmm.
But the child's world is going to be a play world or an illusionary world, or whatever this particular person would later on be called God by the very parents, and it would later on trap in this world. It's like a cancer in the original body succumbing to a cancer, though benign in the beginning,
malignant in the ends.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah. Yes.
And sin set up a series of creations within the context of creation and in the context of a man and woman, a life that started in this caliphate creation, was set up a series of events and struggles to get back to the original source. The rest is history.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah. That's in a nutshell.
Yes.
That's in a nutshell.
Have you made it clear?
Any questions?
Wow. So, with the original set, and I know there's different, you said the pre-dynastic period, then the dynastic period. So you're saying that in the dynastic period, the Kemites in the dynastic period was basically ignorant.
That's one aspect of it. I can give one better.
Mm-hmm.
One aspect of it is a history of people, the latter, becoming ignorant of the former.
Okay.
One aspect is a direct movement.
Mm-hmm.
Cosmic forces that want to sustain its abortion and inadequate creation directly affecting a solution put into that abortion that would ultimately correct that abortion. Of that debauchery.
Okay.
So we also have a history of a group of conspirators, cosmic conspirators, called the Archons, the Demiurge. All this is in your Mag Hammadi library.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff dug up in 1945 in ancient Kemet, which is later day Coptic Kemite. Philosophy that is actuality, the translated philosophy of the Meta into the Coptic.
Mm.
If we finally get what the Theoronic thought is really talking about, when we get it closer to a modern aspect of languages that later on will even lead to English, Latin, Greek, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Aramaic, Hebrew, all the modern languages and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? But we call that Nag Hammadi research, what the ancient person called it, Gnosticism.
Okay.
Get Kirk Rudolph's book, Gnosis.
Gnosis.
I think it's called Kirk Rudolph. As well as Bentley Layton's Gnostic Scripture, the Nag Hammadi Library, and so many books on Gnosticism, which is this modern-day Egyptian.
Okay.
You know, so we're talking about actual Theoronic thought that in its hieroglyphic form, it would be in fragments, or either in lockdown in some museums of white folks, but in its Coptic form, it's the same Theoronic thought. It has changed the language based on a literary way of communication. Coptic.
Okay.
Coptic. You see what I'm saying? But the movement is called Gnosticism. You see? Which is fused into Hebrew Christianity and a variation of the modern religions.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? On that particular aspect. So we always have this cosmic struggle, both on the earth plane and in the human lives,
okay, and
in the spirit plane. But what is the end result of these two planes? And that's what we need to understand. It sets up two worlds. The world of the dark world is the the solution that is put into this this debauchery to ultimately diffuse it and perfect it. And that's your dark side.
Right.
Because the dark side is really those individuals that got trapped in this debauchery of a creation. You see what I'm saying? And ultimately start set up a series of philosophies and studies that will be the solution to diffusing this debauchery and abortion and counterfeit creation. That would ultimately be what your dark side is.
Mm.
And your light side would be supported by the counterfeit or the debauchery of a creation, giving you another type of philosophy to sustain the counterfeit and the debauchery and the conspiratorial counterfeit reality known as the Matrix, Maya, illusion, hell, imprisonment. You see? And your dark side will be the very thing that would free you, which is the complete truth of the conspiracy.
Mm.
That would systematically, historically, over and over again repeat itself as being evil, or being named evil.
Mm.
So in this case, you have a complete opposite. That which is bad or named bad is actually good, or the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that which is named good is a deterrent. See what I'm saying?
I got you.
A distraction.
I got you.
A containment and a incarceration. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
From the solution. Get it?
Got it. You did.
This is the basis of what modern religions are made up of.
Yeah. All this shit is an illusion. So, damn. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like the phrase, curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
It's, as far as this whole universal scheme of creation and what I got out of it, and I've been pondering on it myself as far as, like, is it the sparks of the intelligence that's there in the chaos that makes this illusionary universe? I mean,
no, it is the flaw,
okay,
of the chaos,
okay,
that makes this the illusionary universe. It is the sparks of intelligence, or what they call the shards,
mm-hmm,
of the chaos that will bring light and diffuse the flaw.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
So basically it's the flaw.
It's the flaw. And this creation that we find ourselves trapped in is nothing but a cosmic journey of diffusing the flaw, or the flaw burning itself out.
Mm.
The flaw disintegrating. Mm.
It's almost like a science experiment. Cause this is what I'm getting out of it. Like a science experiment, and basically, you're gonna test it out to get rid of, to find out what the problem really is, to get rid of the problem.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. In so many words, yes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or it's like a cleaning crew coming in to a vile and filthy situation gone bad. and start to clean up. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But the source and the origin of the vile and filthy creation is in a struggle. And every time they wipe up something, the source dirties it back up. And it's this cosmic struggle. Meanwhile, the source, because it got there first.
Right.
Not being the first in creation or the first in that ever was, but it was the first to come into this environment and create the problem. But by it being the first there, the time is running out on it because the ones behind them are a little behind to clean it up, but they got a little more energy because they didn't spend that energy by getting there first.
Okay, okay.
So it's a catch-up thing.
All right.
That has to happen. But ultimately, we catch up.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I got
you. So what has become in my search to unravel the truth? It first started out with something as mundane and social and political as saving black people, as just trying to correct your environment around you.
Hmm.
And ultimately, of unraveling from the social, the political, and all of these things fall off to the spiritual, then the spiritual unravels itself out of moralism and into science, and science unraveling itself off into the core of it. We ultimately find the ultimate solution, that this thing goes far beyond even race, because when this was put in place, man wasn't even on the doggone planet. And this was a group of black people that was under the behest of the cosmic archons, and they called them counterfeit spirits. So we put to the original counterfeit spirits. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
When the cosmic abortion and all this went along, not only did the Great Mother try to correct it, when these particular spirits were trapped down in this particular aspect of this debauchery, ultimately they needed those spirits. By them coming from the source of the divine, they would be the cleanup factor. So when the debauchery itself found out that in actuality, that the spirits that it trapped would ultimately be greater than it, it created counterfeit spirits.
Oh.
To come in and confuse the situation. So when the grand man or the grand pristine superior deity came in to clean up this stuff, which would be the origin of who we are, they also created a group of counterfeit spirits that will always be antagonistic with those so-called true indestructible spirits. And this element of antagonism will go back and forth at first with people that look the same, but they're separated from a single essence.
Mm-hmm.
One is the true spirit and one is the counterfeit. And later on, out of those counterfeit spirits, they would create another agent, which would be a white man.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask the question, well, if black people created the white man, shouldn't they be responsible, and they can't, the white man can't be blamed.
Right.
But what you don't understand, the white man was created by those counterfeit spirits.
Wow.
That the God is pulling the strings to make those counterfeit spirits, these scientists,
so black
create this white man.
So if black people, that say black people didn't have anything to do with it?
No, no, listen. You got two people. You got two people. You got an original spirit that comes from the source of the great mother beyond the debauchery. Then you have the debauchery that creates its counterfeit spirit. Create its counterfeit spirit to confuse the spirits, confuse the spirits to do its evil work in maintaining the debauchery with these counterfeit spirits. But both of them look the same. They're all black.
Okay.
And those particular black ones, the counterfeit spirits, would later on result in creating the white man, who would be the modern counterfeit spirit.
Yeah, I guess.
But the original counterfeit spirits were black, which leads to this question that I have held back for over 10 years of putting forth, that we put forth now. Are some of those counterfeit spirits still in existence?
That's my question. That was my next question.
Well, I'm going to break it down right now, and it's going to be unpopular. It's going to be very unpopular. But I will say this. If they are in existence, most of them still resides in Africa.
Mm.
Do the math.
That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Out of Egypt, I will call my son, who will sift out the right particles. They say this cosmic drama is like a fisherman fishing in the ocean. Some fish that are ripe are ripe, are pulled out. The other ones that are not are thrown back in.
The only thing my dentist told me is that I needed to straighten my teeth, and I honestly did not have the money to do braces or Invisalign. So,
you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Some people that look like us are not of us.
Right.
It's the great mystery, but I do know one thing. I can, these texts that are fundamentally African, they talk about these counterfeit spirits, the dates, and the time that they said the counterfeit spirits came when you shortly after creation, the white man wasn't even on the planet.
Well,
there had to be two kind of Africans.
So then they get, like you said,
and the ones based on the Osirian drama, which means the great westerner, that would be the right one. So when you get the word righteous, it means right. To be the right one would end up in the West. Because the Kamite text say it would be the Westerner that would establish Mayat. Well, Mayat is not just some physical laws and all of this courtroom and judicial system is made out of. It is the very essence of putting back right. That cosmic abortion is called the Tikkun in Kabbalah. It's called Mayat in Kemet. And basically it means transmutation, transformation. It's an alchemical process of fermentation. That's why Jesus said, I am of the wine. Dionysus is of the wine. Osiris is of the wine. And it has to sift out a new product from the original. That's what alchemy is, taking something original and making something new out of it. But those new souls had to be sifted out of or called out of a confusion of his spirits. Some of those left behind. And then you understand why we don't seem to be of a certain people that we were all in the same origin of at one time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Powerful shit. You know what I'm saying? But this ain't about no popularity contest. We urge people to study. You see what I'm saying? I'm gonna need some stuff. Yeah.
Wow. It gets into a little bit of what the system stuff and the about the grafting.
Yeah, just gotta pick it all and put it back in African court.
Right.
And then you find out a nationality.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you see the Egyptians having Africans tied up on the walls and the temple walls.
Wow.
Then you find out in actuality that there was some people understanding that there was this cosmic battle of this earthly terrestrial battle between two different spirits.
Right.
And that's when you see the Norma tablet and the smiting scenes on the walls and temples, and you see these great wars that go on before white people get on the scene. There's a battle between the counterfeit spirits and the true spirits. And then it gets even worse, which asked the question when we first started out about Typhonian versus Amun, or the dynastic. The Typhonians end up being blamed and called the counterfeit spirits, and so forth and so on. It's real mixed up.
Yeah, the story changes.
It changes. And it's real confusing. You just got to understand the principles, because the political thing can be confusing. But we do know now, in the latter part, you understand, that obviously the hell we went through, that we got to be two particles.
We got to be.
Because, no, we are two particles. For the mere fact I'm talking about this shit.
Right.
You see?
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, how would you know, or do you have the information on how do you know what is a counterfeit spirit, or how can you tell?
It's too ancient to even contemplate. Well, we don't know the counterfeit spirits. We know the majority of the later counterfeit spirits, whites, have a greater stock, the majority of them.
Right.
It's hard to tell, even in Africa, because not all people on the continent are counterfeit spirits.
Right.
But they didn't take everybody out of Africa. And this has got to come when, ultimately, the energies are lifted from the spiritual shells that would even hire these things. Those energies lifted, the ones that are only spiritual, because spirit is different than the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are only spiritual will dissipate and disintegrate.
Okay.
Those who have the true souls will be the true primordial sparks that were sent in to clean up the debauchery.
Okay.
You see.
So
that's how we would know.
Okay, so just for example, some of the Uncle Tom, Negroes, boot-licking motherfuckers like...
It's really kind of unfair and hard to use that as an analogy, because we got a cosmic drama going on here, and it's always a fight.
Okay.
Now, it has been brought to my attention, and it's logical, even in my research, that Uncle Tom's a lot of time, if you look at a bigger picture of what's going on.
Okay.
If you look at the smaller picture, it's sad. But if you look at a bigger picture, Uncle Tom's a lot of times were necessary. Because we do know that, although we couldn't tell what kind of enemies were in the African skin.
Right.
We could damn sure tell what kind of enemies, what it was between black and white. And we just so happened to be, you understand what I'm saying, on the receiving end of ass whippings.
Right.
Losing the war at that particular time. But we understood that the white boy when in fear of knowing that one day this earth would belong to us. So the GM pacified a lot of times the Uncle Tom was necessary because the white man wasn't so sure that he had the black man in check based on the Uncle Tom's. He would have killed us all in our vulnerable state. So the Uncle Tom was a buffer zone, not for the white man to have supremacy over us, but it was a buffer zone for us to also have protection by a person that is paranoid, xenophobic, you know.
Right.
Which is a fear of other races. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Sickness, and always, and a warlike creature, a warfare maniac. So this particular Uncle Tom's a lot of times will pacify us. And they act as decoys.
Okay.
To keep them from massacring all of us. Because we know he's capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it to other parts of our race before.
Right.
But there had to be, the ones in the West had to be protected. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So therefore, that was a part of warfare again. Strategies.
Okay.
Keep the enemies close.
Right.
Keep your friends close. Keep the enemies closer.
I've heard you for a number of years. I've heard you talk about AWOS and slaves of AWOS,
yeah.
Things of that nature. And you was talking about the white man, well, the Uncle Tom being a decoy. It kind of reminded me of that great spirit of AWOS and how AWOS, I heard you use the term slaves of AWOS.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like put me in a mind frame of dealing with that particular energy of how AWOS, or that particular energy, used them in so many words. Because now we get to the point where we had a conversation the other day about how the white man is really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He's really not as smart.
No.
He's really not smart at all. So when you're dealing with the counterfeit spirits, then...
Sometimes they need to be manipulated.
Right. That's exactly what I was going with that.
Into working for us.
Mm-hmm.
Help passively in the aspect that they might not be aware of it, but because of their nature is, they wouldn't dare do it. Sometimes in the grand scheme of things, they need to be manipulated. Just like the side who had us slavery in the spirit world manipulated us to do certain deeds,
right,
and things to under the behest of to secure their existence or maintain their existence. We also... our side manipulates the people in power a lot of times to do certain things because the people who are the subjects of the people in power are too vulnerable to do it. So therefore, it's a tug of war between these particular principalities in the spirit world.
Right.
And AWOS being a form of Horus.
Right.
And an agent or an angel on our side, manipulated Europeans a lot of times. You see what I'm saying? And not just AWOS, it was probably other agents,
right,
or spirits or angels on our side that had to manipulate Europeans.
Okay.
Europeans to do the bidding. In so many words, to give an example, all this work that we left behind, all these ancient texts that we would leave in the future, that we had gone into slavery and sleep, when we came out, we would need these texts. but we were in a stupor state of sleep, and we couldn't translate these texts a lot of times or preserve these texts, let's put it this way, because we translated them before we went to sleep. So we would have a history of putting them in the hands even of the enemy. And the enemy thinking that he is doing good by himself and his people by preserving these texts, it would ultimately be preserving them for us in a bigger picture of things. And this is the way that we kept a certain amount of knowledge on the planet moving.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even when we were too sick to maintain our own information, we use the custodians, which happened to be at that particular time, the enemy, to preserve our stuff while we were in a super state, so that we would have this particular information when we would come out of our sleep and is ready to regain and attain our knowledge. So here goes again, a cosmic drama.
Always.
Our two principalities battling. One against us and one for us, setting up stuff. Even down to the scriptures that would be used by the counterfeit spirits and the other side to even shut down the so-called true beings and malign them as being evil and dark. There would also be manipulation from the dark side or the truth side, manipulating scriptures also in the same books, so that we can also find in the popular texts of later that would malign the dark side, we would also find things contrary to that in the same books. So even when you look at these scriptures that are used for propaganda against the so-called truth beings to incarcerate us, you would also find in those same texts.
That's right.
And mysteries that was put in by both sides. They talk about that in the book, The Secret Books of the Egyptian Gnostics, by Jean Dorest, where they talk about one side creating falsehood in the scribe writing of these scriptures, and the other battle of another principality of thought creating the truth and hiding it also in the same scriptures of falsehood that is used to keep a stone of ignorance, enlightenment, and jewels all through those particular scriptures in a cosmic battle between manipulating man to ultimately win the ultimate battle. You see what I'm saying? What side's going to rule? In this case, we win in it. Because the side that ultimately would win was the true source of energies that was not a part of the debauchery or the childlike play world, the illusionary world. And that which is not an illusion ultimately has to exacerbate, a better word would be annihilate that which is the illusion, or diffuse that of the illusion. Amazing thing.
Very amazing. Very, very amazing. Wow. Serious stuff. So, it was good, man. I'm glad I had a chance to talk with you. Get this information on tape to get out to the people around the world. And,
right.
And it's been a pleasure, as always.
It's been a gateway. And might I add, we're talking to the people in the geographical location of the gateway to the West, where East meets West.
Right.
St. Louis, Missouri.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a gateway.
Okay.
And especially a gateway for black people. Because we making it one, if other forces had some other aspect of expansion of the Western white man in Manifest Destiny. Little does he know that that was also the divine cosmic plot of the original Kamite people to even name the god Osiris the Great Westerner.
Wow.
All comes together.
Yeah. The mystery unfolds.
That's right.
The mystery unfolds.
Yeah.
All right.
It's truly been a blessing to come. And this whole 3 or 4 days has been more of a festival. You see what I'm saying? Or a summit.
Mm-hmm.
You see? In building the capstone that would ultimately create the plateau of our rise, which is being, as we speak, put together and finalized and completed in the other world, in the other dimension that ultimately will be our home.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
As we talk, they're working day and night to put this thing together. And we only report good news because a long fight has already been done, because just that I've been doing research to understand, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Our souls are in the other aspect having a great gathering, you see,
mm-hmm.
and a great rise. We're just only reporting in this realm what is going on in the other realm.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? As we seek.
Fine, fine, fine.
You know.
Sorry.
Yes.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yep.
So, one more question.
Yes.
Now, since the war is won.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you have an answer to this. But it came upon me, I was like, okay, now that the war is won, and we're going back into the original
mm-hmm.
state.
Original perfected state.
Perfected state this time.
Yep.
So now that we are going to be perfected,
yep.
none of this will happen again.
None of this will happen again. That was all the point of ultimately when we fell, the great mother of the original source made the decision that this is good. Change is good. Change brings about completion.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So therefore, it was a debauchery and an abomination and a departing of the original source. But on another aspect, it was also, you see, a cleansing,
mm-hmm.
a purification, a setting right, you see what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
in a perfecting mode of that that originally went wrong. The wrong that originally occurred was good because the flaw showed itself.
Mm-hmm.
The mold showed itself. And so therefore, the potential and the opportunity to perfect, you see what I'm saying, was made. And all was good.
Mm.
You see.
So it's going back to like that movie, The One.
Mm-hmm.
Jelly, when the gathering.
Right.
So basically the one true soul
uh-huh.
on many dimensions or whatever
mm-hmm.
come back.
Yeah.
As one.
Exactly.
As one.
Exactly.
Nothing is offended by nothing.
Yes. But unlike the Matrix, when you see Zion
mm-hmm.
as this dismal place,
mm-hmm.
which the Zion of the underworld for most of this history
mm-hmm.
of the earth was this dismal and gloomy place. That is not going to be the end result of how it would end up. It's going to be an illumined and a perfected place. You won't be walking around in dirty clothes.
Hmm.
Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I know they got to show certain things to illustrate points in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But the movie should have shown one last scene of what would be called Zion after it was freed from the Matrix.
Mm.
You see? And that's what we are going to experience. We should call it a crystal city in the sky.
Mm.
You see?
So the stuff in Christ is resurrected.
Yes.
I got that.
And there's ultimately the crystal city in the sky, the ark, the ship, the chariot. There's nothing but emanations of your own soul. That's what the ships really are.
Wow.
That's what the crystal city really is.
So it's like you're going to live in the soul.
In the soul.
Like inverting.
The soul itself will be its own essence.
Wow. Wow.
So there's no way that you cannot get on this ship because you are the ship. Amazing shit.
Amazing stuff. Wow.
And why wouldn't it be this beautiful for us? God knows we suffered. You see what I'm saying? To witness and be a part of this damn beautiful tale. And the end result, you see.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Telling you.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Signing off, Brother Bobby Hemmett. Get the tapes.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, guys. Roll day to the world. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Spiritual Soul Sunday. I'm your host, Haru. And as you guys know, we are on every weekend. I do apologize for there not being a motivational classroom yesterday. If you guys are in the group, the Enhancement Awareness Radio group, if you guys do not see a pinned show for that day, let's say we're like an hour, like, you know, into the show or whatnot, it's because sometimes I do forget. But if you guys see in the pinned notes the day of the podcast that there's not a show up there, normally there, you know, there's not a show. I've told the team, you know, in the background that there's not going to be a broadcast, but sometimes the public doesn't get it. And I do know that you guys, some of you have signed up for email access, you know, like every time we go on, you guys literally, you know, get an email. So be sure that you guys do that. If there's any time you don't get a notification that we're not going to be on, guys, okay? So I attempt to make it every day, you know what I'm saying, guys? But there are some days where I, not to say that I can't because I can do anything, but, you know, there's some days where I have to reschedule as founder, okay? All right, guys, so I thank you so much for your avid listening. Thank you guys so much who have showed Mary Fox support. Mary Fox, she started her broadcast this past week in Discussions in the Black Room. They did a podcast this week as well, so go back and listen to those. Definitely great podcast. Mary, you know, of course, talks about the politics, and Discussions in the Black Room actually talks about current events. So be sure that you're not only supporting the Motivational Classroom and Spiritual Soul Sunday, but also be sure that you're supporting our other hosts on this platform as well. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, guys, I hope that you enjoyed the particular breakdown. I wanted to use most of the broadcast because, you know, at EAR, our motto is we don't like to always be the one talking. I don't like to be the one always talking, nor do I like to hear the same person talking all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I like to give a balance, you know, here at EAR. So, you know, this was a segment dedicated to one of Bobby's teaching, and that was understanding the darkness. You know what I'm saying? Because in this society, you know, we go out here, we have been taught, we have ingrained, I'm talking lifetimes of ingrained, to, you know, think that dark is actually bad. You know what I'm saying? Eddie Murphy did a stand up, or Richard Pryor, one of them, you know, and they would say evil is good. You know what I'm saying? It's not the fact that, you know, it's how you use it, okay? It's how you use it, but even how you use it, you know what I'm saying? We have to be prepared, you know what I mean, for the consequence, or let's say the consequence of, a lot of people don't like to touch that word karma. I'm one of them, you know what I mean? I like to look at it as the law of cause and effect, you know what I'm saying? So what you put out is what you're going to get back, you know what I'm saying? So if you're going to put out, you know, a mass murder of somebody's family and generations of bloodline, don't be surprised if, you know, two bloodlines down the line, you know what I'm saying, that manifest back up in your bloodline, but you don't remember who you are, so you don't know, you know what I'm saying? This can run deep, y'all. The spells and the shit that y'all have did against, that we have did against one another, are hurting your grandchildren. All right? So you think you done something and got away with it. You went to the grave with it. But, baby, four lifetimes later, there it is. You know what I'm saying? So never think that you are getting away when we utilize our power in the worst way, all right? So if we're going to do black magic out here against one another, just be prepared for the consequences, all right? So I did jot down a few things I want to talk about, you know, as far as the clip, guys. We got about an hour, a little under an hour now, before they cut us off. But I think that that's enough time to kind of tie up and kind of conclude everything that Bobby said. So let's go ahead and bring Eternal in. Peace, peace, peace on to you, Bubba. How are you feeling this rising?
Greetings, greetings. Right, how are you, brother?
Greetings, greetings. I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. So, yeah, that's the conclusion. That's the conclusion of Bobby Heeman and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? So just hearing the clip, how do you feel about everything Bobby said?
I mean, Bobby has a generational pull that it helps not only our past people, it's also in our present people, because what Bobby Heeman says is basically to clear up the points and views that some of us haven't really cleared up yet. You know, the black and the white issue as the God. Who is the God? Is there a centering point of when you do know the God, would the God be allowed to be one? You know what I mean? Some of us actually destroy the God before the God actually shows that it's God. Then you'd be like, wait a minute, that's not God. But then it was like, wait a minute, God was about to show itself. You just didn't give God a chance. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be a point of where is the perfect presentation for itself? How does it really present itself? You know? And if we do platforms like that, rituals that help, you know, alignment and showing reflection, how does that work back? You know what I mean? Like, how do you really see yourself as an image? What is it that you use for your master as well as your feminine? And because it's all about cause and effect, what's causal? You know, you have causal moments. Causal is the point of saying it might be a cause and effect, but it's a reason for the effect because you needed the cause. Some of us will not go outside until we realize that you need some food that's in the house that's missing. You're going to want to eat, so the more causal effect will be because you have to eat, you're going to want to go out there and get this food. So you're going to eat, you know. The idea of saying, how am I going to eat, when am I going to eat, what am I going to eat, where am I going to eat, you know, why do I need to eat? Or your body's already telling you that. So that's the causal. Like, we do have a point where we think one thing overweighs the other, and then we don't think the other overweighs. And that's how the cause and effect become what it is. It's all about your universal laws. That's why these universal laws are put there, appointed there. And through anybody in the universe, it's applicable.
Mm-hmm. Go back. I was going to say to the audience, you guys, go back. Eternal actually did a podcast solely directed to universal law. So I encourage anybody, you know, to type in Enhancement Awareness Radio, Universal Laws, and you should see the podcast. It's the last podcast on Universal Laws that we did. So, yeah. Are you saying the Universal Laws, can you speak on that a little more? What do you mean by, like, our internal Universal Laws, or is the Universal Laws one?
Okay, so if we go into that department, we're going to say the law of oneness would be like a beginning point of the universal laws, period, to explain why we talk about the law of oneness and why do we talk about universal laws, period, because first it has to have something that you are already familiar with, which makes you know about, you know, self being one, self being in tune with the not only spiritual side of self, not only mental side of self, the physical side of self. So, like, you can call God, right? And you can say that this is God. And that was, like, the same first instance I was saying, okay, this is not God. You're going to find out God is in everything. So now in the law of oneness, you find out it might be a lesser or greater amount. Nonetheless, in the causal point of it, from cause and effect, you're going to find the God, period, in all things. So now is the point of how the law of oneness works. Like, you're going to take a piece of paper. You know that this paper came from something. So in that, it has its origin. And once you are able to put your mind in a further of the atmosphere of thought, that perception and inception, conception, deception, perception, interception, interception, exception, don't exception, starts to show itself. And so we call that the influx. You're going to see a mirror effect, an image. Most people get it as the epiphany of saying, the spirit told me, blah, blah, blah. And you be like, wait a minute, the spirit told you that? Like, what, you? I ain't got a spirit that's telling me stuff too? So it become a point where some of us separate the law of oneness, create a law of themselves and the cause and effect, and use that. However, where it starts at, it could be also where it stopped at. Now, most people would want to say they're comfortable with, you know, going by the spirit. The spirit told me this, the spirit told me that. Now, that was just what I was saying about even in the law of oneness, there's a percentage of that one, not percentage of oneness. So sometimes when we're looking at one and oneness, those are two different things. That's why they when a person say, there's only be one God, you'd be like, yeah, no, not exactly. The oneness of those gods. There's onenesses of those gods. So now, Jesus, let's just put Jesus as a god, a demigod, because that's what his origin still states as. Like, he comes from God, right, as the child. You know, he's God's child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. I'm
and then there's all of us. Okay, then there's all of us that they're saying, technically, is coming from God, even though we're saying, you know, the spirit of God, even though that's still saying you're coming from God. So now in the law of oneness, we're not seeing it as all of us are in the oneness of the God and the goddesses. We look at one God giving us all this energy. And that's where this democrat, the democracy from republic has been switched. When we're looking at republic, we republicizing ourselves. This is why we put everything on statement or amendment to administrate energy back out. Now, of course, this is from a discharge. Now, you can't be a god unless you know how to create. And that's what a lot of us didn't realize as when we're saying stuff, we think gods destroy things. Okay. If you realize you destroyed something, right, the word live is also kind of like the saying the same thing. It was living, and then you made it non-living, right? Well, when you make it non-living, live, L-I-V-E, is evil backwards.
Mm-hmm. So it's how you, would it be the frequency in which it's utilized, Scottish?
Okay, so now we know that it's not evil at all. It's just a reverse of it, just like you just said. It becomes a point where you can use the lesser or greater of to still have that equal energy. That's why energy don't die off. It might transfer to another area, but it just don't die off. So if a person,
not totally.
that they're using their God eyes, and I'm going to just go there with the spirit, they're using their God eyes, right, and then all of a sudden it gets impaired. Does that mean that they're not going to use their ears, their nose, their mouth? They just going to say, oh, my eyes are gone. I can't believe in nothing else now. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to transfer into your ears now that your ears are now more hearable. Like, I took a test myself last night. Now, being that I took a test myself last night was like taking a test that I've done before, and I see my dad go through it, and I see myself even go through it, and then realize when it was done like an impaired way. Like, my dad, he works at a shipyard, and he ended up just ship fitting, and he ended up with some metal, hit him in the eye. They had to take a laser and cut the metal out. Mm. When they did that, his eyesight was off until he was able to see light again, and the light wouldn't affect his eyeball. So it was like the density of the light can impair somebody just as much as heal them. It can hurt them. So what I found out was, I said, man, I don't want to ever do that. What are you doing? Next thing I know, I'm working as a welder, and I get some metal scrapes hit me in my eye. So I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh,
now I got to do the very same thing he did. Now, it's a variation of me being him, even though I know I came from him, even though I'm not him. We're in this oneness. And this is what the God of oneness is when they say, you know, God is one. No, the God is not saying one of just himself. God is oneness, as in it's a lot of this, of the God, and not just God, God, and not just God, goddesses. We got deity, we got diesis. We say these things, just like we say a comedian, comedian, a hero, a heroine. You know what I mean? So when we say he, we also added an S on front of he, and you got what?
S in front of he, hers, right? A S in front of he, she. She.
Yeah, she. Yeah, you
right?
got she. All right. And now, if you put an R in behind he, you was doing it, you got what?
Hero, or wait, H-E-O?
No.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Well, you added the O already. I was going to say, yeah, that's where we're getting to, where the he
okay.
was a her. The he is a her, and the heru or hero is us. And the hero, you have to do something heroic in order to feel something. Like you're walking through everyday mundane things, and you feel like, man, I don't feel no charge out of this. Like I'm getting paid, but I don't feel like this is really getting paid. Because it's not an exchange.
I get bored.
You're not saying exchange.
I get bored. And I start being destructive. I start being evil then, you know.
So when you say bored, realize what the word bored justifies. Is it an actual board? Is it an actual plank that people walk off of and jump? Is it an actual game board? Now, remember, when we play games, there's different type of games we play, right? We play the arcade game. We play board games. We play games of life. So now, is it really the game is boring you, or are you boring yourself?
Yeah.
So this is where that oneness and the godness comes from. You start to say, you know what? I don't have to be bored by this. I can entertain myself.
Yep.
And I don't have to look outside for entertainment. I don't have to look outside for entertainment. You know how many times I got grounded? I got put in that room. I was like, dang, you took everything from me. I got nothing in here. And this is where you start to realize you ran with God. This is where you realize God is still with you. This is where you realize not just God is gods and not just gods is goddesses. Because you'll find out how you have to nature yourself. You'll find out how you have to have nurture for yourself. You can walk all day running around, jumping in the shower, and get right out of it. Yet, if you don't oil up, your skin can't oil up in the winter. So now, when you don't oil up, you get all the way to wintertime, and now you're looking at, why my skin old? You never took care of it. It was taking care of you, but you weren't taking care of it. And so this is how you see a lot of us are walking around with our nervous system all messed up. Because we haven't put the goddesses and the gods together. We done made them separated. We said the eyes are better than all the other body parts on me. And I'm going to just use my eyes to tell me about how I believe and not believe stuff. When you need to know it, you ain't going to just believe it. You're going to go across the street and someone says 7-Eleven over there. 7-Eleven is over there. I've never seen a 7-Eleven over there. See how I use my eyes? So now, let me go over there and walk over there. Let me use the physical of my body instead of going by your mental of telling me it's over there, and I don't even know until I actually walk and find out. Now, I can go by your belief. I can even go by your faith. But once it's faith, that means I have to go through it. I have to finally see it from the other side and say, oh, yeah, it's over there. Or, nope, it's not over there. You lied. Or maybe you thought it was over there, and you didn't lie. You just didn't realize how you lied to yourself. Because, of course, we do act. And act is a part of lying, too. We just don't know it. It's just a part of act.
Yeah.
It would say it's an act. That's where it's a little white lie instead of a regular lie.
Yeah.
And even like, which one is worse, the little white lie? You wanted to soft punch somebody. How do you soft punch somebody? A punch is a punch, ain't it?
Let me re-interject real quick. Michael Jackson said, you know, be careful because the lie may one day be the truth. So these celebrities, that are out here acting the role of Beyonce, the role of Tupac, you know, and that's not even them, you know what I'm saying? That's a great example of, you know, be very careful because the lie can one day become the truth. Absolutely.
That's absolutely correct. Because what I'm saying right now is, from my family history, Nat Turner's bloodline, William Styron to Alex Haley, all these people have been writing about my family. I ain't even wrote about my family. My family ain't even wrote about my family. And you're going to have somebody else write about it? Nate Parker put out Birth of a Nation. We see it, yet is it your family or is it somebody else's family? And then when you see it, is it your story or somebody else's story? Is it real or is it a story? And now, how much Hollywood was put in there to be like, oh, that's how they made their ratings? Because they wanted to get the popularity, not tell the truth. When you go to court, is it that you pass, like you get dismissed from them being not guilty, or is it because there's doubt in the court? Most people thinking you got to be not guilty in order to dismiss stuff. No, you got to make them doubt what's going on in that court. Otherwise, you're going down, guilty or not guilty. It's the lack of ignorance that fools us. They said, I can actually save 1,000 people. It's just the one learn is going to excel further than even 1,000 people I saved. What's the reason for it? That one got knowledge. The other one, they just followed. How would they not know about God if they just follow?
I hear a lot of people say, you know, after if there are like 100 people, as long as one get it, you know, and I now understand that more and more now. As long as one can hear me, you know. So
yeah, that's the effort, bro. That's the effort, because you could imagine, like I'm an artist, right? And as an artist, I get shamed more than a lot of people. And I would not think that they would want to shame me, yet they would shame even something good because it's good. So now, not saying that I want to toot my horn, I noticed that when I show people how to do the copper, I get them out there, or some of them learn without me being there in their presence. They just happen to look and wanted to do it in a cheapskate way. Now, people cheapskate themselves so much that they will cheat on themselves. And then when they come back in front of you and they want to show you that they learned something or they got whatever they gotten, or someone say, look, this person that got to this level now. And you're like, wait, I know that person. That person learned something that I ain't even give it to. So then you find out how much that they were not doing my eye, how much they were not into balancing. Matter of fact, they do so much unbalancing, they'll say, don't go to him, come to me. I got the latest
shortcut.
You know what I mean? And so you'll see the downfall along with it. Yet, just like right now, I'm still humble. Even though I have 1,000 people coming in the door, I'm still humble because I know I got more than just copper. The Most High gave me more ability than just copper in my hand. So it was never for me to perish in the lack of faith or the lack of knowledge, all of that. It wasn't meant for me to be that way. I was the one that was pushed in the corner when you were in the classroom and you said, man, this child, I don't know what the child would do good in the classroom, it's just the act up. So now it's like, oh, well, then you're still dumb. So it wouldn't even matter the education. It's now the mannerism. And when you find out, some of us don't have good mannerism. Some of us aren't the good player that plays in the game, and they say, oh, that was a good game, and they shake your hand and say, you know, good game. Some of us aren't those people. Some people be like, oh, you lose, you're a loser. The reason why they doing that, though, because they never had a chance to win. And now they have finally a chance to win, this is how they act.
Well.
And because that's the issue.
No, I was just going to say, I always know who's who. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say that a lot, and I'm learning that a lot. You know, it's no judgment or nothing like that. It's just, it's very important just to know who's who and what's what.
That's it. Know your audience so you know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
What's the first
know
thing I did
audience
when I got on the phone?
Absolutely.
What's the first thing I did when I got on the phone? Exactly.
You always ask how
that's
you
the only way I'm
going
to know how you are. If I don't ask you, I don't know.
Yeah.
If not, I'm assuming it. And then I'm just like, as an alpha, I was telling my significant, I was saying, if you are an alpha and you walk in the room, you're going to be the first one to talk. You're going to be the first one that don't even hear nothing because you're talking. You're going to be the first one that says, I'm in the room. Y'all pay attention to me because I'm the alpha in the room. Or where's the service at? Because I need it now. Pronto. I'm alpha. Most of us, when we were taught, we didn't realize that when they did that in front of us, it was also impairing the others who are betas. I made it to a point where one alpha would be like, look at the other alpha and say, let me smell your butt. The reason why I'm smelling your butt because I want to know where you came from. Now I know how to conquer you. I smell fear in your butt. This is why most people look them in the eyes and don't take eye contact for granted. I mean, don't lose eye contact since the beginning they saw you. So it's more like they're doing a battle with you, and you didn't even realize you're being in a battle. But this is what certain people, when they made gladiators, they said, look them in the eyes. And if you win the eye contest or the eye fight, basically you're going to win the fight out of that man or the physicality out of that man because they already feel like, oh, let me look down. Let me look away from this person. This is our reality. We've been kicked into Zip Coon to Jim Crow for such a long period of time that some of us are replaying it back out and saying it's okay. It's cool to do it. And that's why our children are still feeling even less than of a man or less than of a woman, because there are certain things that we domesticated as the god, as the goddess, and said, these are the demoralized people. Let's do what demoralized people do in the human zoo. Let's make them an exhibition. Your child, my child, like how they say it, your child be doing great in my class. Oh, I don't know what y'all be feeding my child, but as soon as you get home, he be totally different. He be acting like a fool. So now it's like the child don't know the difference now. They got to go between you as the God who was supposed to be the goddess or God, giving them that nurture and nature energy, didn't do it. So now he's looking at, oh, I'm the devil. See? And now he's going around and say, I'm evil. This is why they do that. We don't give them that support that we're supposed to be getting. Where's the chair and the ladder support that we're supposed to have? Where's the layman's term support so that once we say, okay, the child is confused, I need to help.
Can I say something? I want to say something real quick right there, because I want to say that what I have noticed, Eternal, is sometimes the parents could know this on a level intelligence, and just because they're mad at their at the dad's father, you know, his seed, you know what I'm saying? Some of these women are kind of manipulating or shaping the mind of the child to think he's, you know, like you said, the devil. And then the child, you know, grows up, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like emotional mental manipulation, level 10. That's another thing I've been noticing.
And you hit it right on the button, because you will say, like the child will say, I mean, the mother will say, don't grow up, be like your father, or you're going to grow up, just be like your daddy. You know, it's the re-ingurgitated depression that person is feeling added on to you. They call that emotional power. You don't want somebody to give you emotional power tormenting you with that power, because that's the power of emotion. Now, when that child acts up and start crying, say, shut up before I give you something else to cry about. It's like you're giving that child more issues and drama, trauma, PTSD, even from what you're going through, your postpartum, even probably the prepartum, because before the child even came in, you was going through some situations that some of us don't even see. Like as a man, some of us as a man, let's go there. Some of us as a man, we say, oh, the baby ain't here yet. I ain't got to do nothing. The baby ain't here. Like, I ain't got to go to none of your checkups. I ain't got to check on you. I ain't got to see if you got morning sickness. I ain't doing none of that because, shoot, my mama made it through. You should be able to do it too. Bullying.
It's an automatic.
Neglect.
Assuming.
Abuse.
Yep.
Yes. That's why it's the further to God. Right. You got to further your God energy by the senses that we have. Your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth. If you can speak, most people say, if you can't talk, that means you can't eat. You ever heard that? You don't speak up. You ain't getting nothing to eat. Now, why would somebody do that to somebody else? Like, you going to wait till a person, they looking you dead in the face, you cooking something smell really good, but now you got to look at them and say, well, you hungry? Are you gonna, you want to eat? Because you ain't saying nothing. And they got to actually cook this meal, and they feel like they're torching you. So now it's the idea, do I really speak up when it's time? You notice that some people will not get respect because they do not open their mouth. And then in reverse, some people do not give respect because they do not open their mouth. You can have a child walk right in front of you, and this mother right there says, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll be like, hey, that's your daughter? Hey, your little daughter? And they look right at you and don't say nothing. And then, oh, forgive her. She's just quiet today. No, she's been quiet like that all her life. And then, oh, she just woke up. Nope, I ain't giving you that one either. Because you can do that all day. And this is giving them the passes. At the same time, crippling our child to say, stay mute. So when you get older, when it's time for you to say, oh, I need some help. Oh, I can't find my direction. Now your child not going to say nothing. And now, what's wrong with you? Why don't you speak up? Why don't you say something? You're not giving these children the critical thinking that they're going to need to have. When they go into these schools, the same way. They're looking at your child came from some gods and goddesses. However, I could go down a rank and make you a king and queen or make you a peasant, and now you're a peasant's children. So it goes from these ranks that we put ourselves. If we could really look at our children as they came from priesthood mentality, man, would we be well off? Because, you know, you're talking about priesthood mentality. That has nothing to do with your material world. Yet a lot of us, how are we? We materialistic, ain't we? Going to school, you got to have brand new shoes. You got to have brand new pants. You got to have brand new shirt. Everything got to be brand new. You ain't brand new, but you got to come in here with this brand new. You ain't even have brand new attitude. You come in here with that old-ass attitude. And then, matter of fact, I'm going to give you an A for coming in here at the beginning of the day. But that old attitude will cause you to have a zero or an E by the end of the semester. Because of the new clothes? You thought the new clothes were going to get you there? That's God's energies of material. We're talking about where's God's energy. So where are you at in this godly form? Where is this priesthood energy at? And because we don't explain it or talk about priesthood energy, that's why a lot of this is still going on. It's going to be ongoing until somebody says, you know what? Spiritually, we need to have conscience. Not just conscious physical, not just conscious mental. Because if we're doing that, we've been well off right now still doing that kind of stuff. How many people you see wearing masks still on their face? That's not spiritual conscience. That is not spiritual conscience. That's non-spiritual conscience. You're Christian, you're Islam, you're whoever. If you are still wearing that mask, you're telling me you're still unnatural. And guess what else? You're still doing unnatural things. That's not part of nurture. That's not even part of nature. When we put diapers on our children, it was for a purpose, to train them to take it off eventually. Because we don't want you to boo-boo on yourself. You're going to stink and going to be all over the place. So you need to catch that. You got to have a net for that. Our mind somehow mentality went to the net is the dollar bill, and that's all it's going to be. I ain't thinking nothing else. Everything else could be holes in the net. I need these nets and the dollars so I can make the internet be bigger for me and buy more material stuff and all my godly things, yet I don't feel godly. That's the issue. You can put all these clothes on, but if you don't like what's within you, all they are is just putting clothes on. All they are is you can buy a brand new whatever. Still the same. You can't come out of that. You got to fix that yourself. You got to go internally to do that. You got to come into your priesthood to do that. And a lot of us who are becoming radicals now are waking up to that. Some of us are saying, like, Clashes Clay. Okay, you know what? I don't want to be Clashes Clay no more. I seen what it's like being in the restaurant. I asked for something. They said, we don't serve your kind here. And I done got a gold medal for the Olympics. And this how y'all treat me? I throw this in the Hudson River. Kind of thing like that. We're going to start to see our spiritual has to be a consciousness awareness now. It can't just be mental and physical. You need a spiritual conscious awareness in order to get through whatever we're going through right now. Because you're eating, it's a food for thought. Drinking, is smoking. Food for thought. All of these are there. So now, if you are a drinker, go into it in a spiritual manner. Say, you know what? Since I am in the physical, what was my first one I said? Eating? If you're in your
drinking
process.
You say
okay,
drinking,
if you're eating,
smoking.
Drinking, or smoking, all of these three things require a mental, physical, and a spiritual. Now, mm-hmm. I know you like to go out, hey, let's go hang out, let's do this, let's do that. I get that. That's the recreational side. Now we're going to put that to the side because we already knew that was when you were supposed to be young. You're supposed to did that part, get that one out of the way. And then you know how people say when you grow up, you're supposed to have a bar mitzvah, rites of passage. And this is where the adulthood comes in. Sometimes we skip that. We went to sex. And so some of us didn't get that adulthood parenting part. And then it'd be like, okay, now as an adult, I'm doing what it is if I do have a child come into existence because now I know about parenting and I'm going to do it properly. I might even do it better than my parents. Now, if we didn't get those, we're going to skip some stages. We got all the way to the fifth gear and you got to go back to the first gear and figure out what went wrong. That's the issues that a lot of us are facing. So now when we're looking at this, looking in the back, you're like, okay, what did I go wrong? Where did she go wrong? Where did we go wrong at? And then correct it. You ain't got to be complaining about it. Mm-hmm. You can actually correct it. Now, of course, you can say it's too late. My child old now. Okay. Well, somebody next door to you has a child. Somebody across the street from you has a child. Put your interest back in these children because we're going to put our interest mm-hmm. in this dollar bill, and that ain't the right net we should be having. Our children are about to be netted up. So until we start doing some stuff for them, we ain't got the knack. They got it. They're using it on your child, and they're doing it for 180 days. And by the time your child get out of the school setting, they're going to say, who is this child? That ain't the child I had. This child totally different.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is not neglect.
Like seven. It's like at age, 7 years old, Eternal. If you notice, like your child, it may be itself up until about between 7 and 9 seems to be where you get a different child sent back home, you know, in my observation.
That's real, and that's absolute. Now, think about it. You brought up the magic number, 7. 7 is reality. 7 is the first stage from 1 to 7 in your first chakra. It's 7 ages. 7 ages to your first chakra. So they're learning their root with whoever. So like I said, from 7 to 21, those are 3 stages of the chakras. So you're supposed to be learning your mental, your physical, your spiritual missing. We ain't even get there. Because by the time you're 21, you ain't got no time. You know, ain't no time for it. You got to be an adult. You got to do adult stuff. You got to start doing recreational stuff, not doing no rehabilitational kind of thing. Not saying that you have to go to a AAA to rehabilitate. We think we're Alcoholic Anonymous people. We are not. The only thing is we get in a comfort zone, and when that comfort zone kick in, what do we do for it? Do we depress ourselves more, or do we incline some energy? Versus decline the energy. Can we take that L that we like smoking, go outside, do a little push-ups or jumping jacks or using a hula hoop? You can do some stuff to energize your body while you're smoking. You ain't got to just smoke and just chill and then watch a movie or just smoke and just go to sleep or just smoke and eat. We don't have to be in that kind of comfort. You can smoke and do some art. You can smoke and go to a comedy and really feel the comedic energy coming out of it and not look for the lowest of it, though, because then that's still saying you're just going back to where you were depressed at. You got to look for your likenesses outside of yourself if you now put it in you. Look for it outside. That's why the God is an image. And they say, don't have no image before me. Are you serious? Well, then how am I going to see anything if I don't have no image before me? I'm going to be blind myself. I'm going to run into even cars and not know what they are. People love cars more than they love their stuff. You ever had them do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
They love everything on the material. Come on, say it again.
I know a few. True. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that before they wife,
on a weekend?
Before they job, they put that car. You know, if they could sleep in it, I think they would.
Exactly. Highest priority. So, I'll make sure I put that stuff in my tires. I'm going to make sure my inside dashboard, all that's clean. Don't be coming in here eating in my car. make sure if you're going to ever use my car, you better put that gas in it. You know, those kind of things. We know that the car is basically a child. It's an automatic child. And you ever notice we're going to have a new car every year. So it's basically your car is a calendar. And you're making that to the call lender to your energy. And everything that car now has each year is going to have the highest, newest technology in it. Nanotechnology, they've got a big one in there. So now what we got to think about is, where's the origin of that? Where's the law of oneness with that? If we really did this in a universal law, we know that that's a horseless wagon. It came from where the horses and the wagons used to be at. And then who is horse? Horse. It's still the origin of your Heru energy. Just didn't know you were doing heroic things when you say when your wife said, "Can you pick me up?" "No, I ain't got time for that. I gotta pick up blah blah blah, do the da da da." You're not heroic no more. You're gonna change up that whole Heru connection. When they said this is a car, not a vehicle, not a apparatus, and not even a horse's wagon. That's why we having issues. We don't look at the origin to ourselves. Let alone said this origin must be more popular, so you're going with that one, which is lesser. If I took an apple from the tree, it came from the tree. If I took that apple and made some apple cider, that's apple cider. It still came from that tree. However, that apple cider is lesser than what that tree can now still develop. And this is what we do with ourselves. We do this on a constant. And we don't know how to narrate ourselves into learning ourselves to be now the formula to our own self. Who is we forming in you love energy? Because the library is for lies. They've been in the brary patch for the lie.
Ooh. Oh, whoa. Uh-oh. You know, I like the library.
It ruined the phone.
But I would never say I like the library. I like to go to the library because of the atmosphere, like to catch up on work and do all that. I did all that before I got my own spot. But I never was drawn to the book. Never, because I just it's like this detachment from the vibe of the library and the literature, if you will.
Yeah, I need to grab this one. This one's where it's at. This will help you out and help a lot of us out. The devil said, in order for I to exist, you have to what? Do you know this part?
I don't.
You have to believe in it.
Believe? Ah!
It is.
On that note, let's go ahead and wrap up because we got 15 minutes left, and if we go any more deeper on this, we're going to get cut off. So just remember, you guys, it's how you use it, okay? You know, we don't have to look at even, you know, I was conversing with a friend, you know, and it was something that I was incorrect on, you know, but I told her this. I said, you know, I'm never wrong even when I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because I choose to look at, you know, wherever I was wrong, I use that as a learning curve. I use that in alchemy in order to understand, you know, something deeper. And I feel that when we approach this evil thing or this good and this bad thing, you guys, you know, nothing is ever good, nothing is ever bad. It's how we utilize it and interpret of whatever event that is. All right, so the only real evil is the ignorance of one's mind. What are the secrets beyond moralism? There it is. And see, that right there is the life class that I'm in currently, okay? So what are the secrets behind moralism? I'm understanding some phenomenal shit. So when we take morality out of the equation, you guys, I promise you, There are secrets of the universe that will be mind blowing that will be revealed to you. So I know that one firsthand. So black magic was our magic. You know what I'm saying? In the beginning, there was no perfection. Think about it. In the beginning, there was no perfection. Turn over all sort. Whoa, I can't understand my home writing. turn over all. Okay, we're going to skip that one. What if the real enemy is the force we've been taught to love all our lives. So the perception of what we call Jesus, you know, the white faced pale man, you know, that perception. And then too, we were ingrained that the white man is superior all our lives. You know what I'm saying? So what if that in which we were taught is the actual enemy? You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't always that. You know what I'm saying? This history and this Jesus and this, you know, this is nothing but like, what, 100 years, 100, hundreds of years old, if not thousands of years old. I don't know what to think now because the timelines are wrong. You know, this shit probably happened probably 100 years ago, all of it. You know what I'm saying? And we thinking that it happened 25,000 years ago when the shit probably went down in 1803. You know what I mean? So...
Absolutely.
Shit is just not adding up. I'm like, wait a minute. You telling me that this happened in 1758? Like, this shit been going on, this ignorance? You mean to tell me that this ignorance been going on? Y'all, we allow, as a people, I don't think we're that slow. And I think that we advance quite quickly. So for you to tell me that this shit has been going on since 1708, something dormant in me that doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? So I feel that this shit been happening. I'm putting it together in the background. I'm trying to tell you I am putting it together. Not making up. The timelines are off. So, guys, now is the time to tap in. We did a broadcast last week. Go back and listen to the one we did last week, guys. Affirm to yourself that you allow that all of your past dormant past lives, you know what I'm saying, are now merging in together. Tap into your past dormant lives or energies or whatever. If you find yourself doing stuff or being curious, you know, about stuff that you was like, okay, damn, where did that come from? Tap into that, guys, because you may be tapping into a past life that you, you know, things that you may love, like painting for me. And jazz, like, you know.
Come on.
So.
Can I
hear that? Guys, join us every weekend. Almond Rock, yes, you can. So that's my wrap up. You trying to go ahead and take us out. Go ahead.
Bro, you hitting it on the nail because it's the idea of what the hammer does. The ham is the ma. Ma is ham backwards. So we hitting the mer energy, hammer. So mer is love. Mm-hmm. Hammer on the nail. The nail is to kneel. See, we've been kneeling on a lot of things, but we didn't know they were nailing us. They said nail on the stake. But the stake is about land, status. It's not stake, but they made a stake like it's a vampire thing, stake. So now we're a vast empire, but the vast empire is vampire. We can't be no vampires. Can't keep eating the meat. Can't keep repeating the food for thought and not knowing we're doing the wrong thing. We're desecrating the earth. If we're desecrating the earth, Maat don't have our back. That's why these people are going off the earth. And if we don't get it right, it's because we're not putting what's forward for our children. We're saying, oh, I'd rather get paid. Don't look at it as a pay. Look at it as an exchange. You're getting an exchange for your value. You're a value. And I know when people say, oh, no, it's not an exchange. What? Why is the X created in everything? X creates everything. We're using it in example, exist. Exercise. This is why the X is there. Not the X, just the one X. You got to look at it different X's. It could be complex, yet use the X. X is so useful. The word use is X. Why is it an X? Because it's unknown to us. And so it's still to us to find out what the X really means. It's a mystery. If it's a Roman number, it's a 10. Yet, if we're not Roman, why are we using it as a 10? Then this explains why it's a Capricorn. This explains why it's a bafflement. This explains why you'll punish someone, why you put Peter Pan on something, the pan and panic, the one who wears the pants. This whole Peter thing and Peter being Tom becomes how we became a Tomcat to this whole level of Panthers. So it's the reaction. Are we in tune with our reaction? And once you see the reaction, is it beneficial for you? And how you see your benefit? You are in tune with yourself. So now realize what the tunes are for you as you keep tuning yourself. Realize how to use meditation, how to sit down in a quiet place instead of all the noise. And then create, even when there's noise, your quiet place. If you haven't, you have to start. That's your spiritual content. And whoever is doing whatever, you're going to say, I love doing this. And then you realize, I don't like doing this. Time to do the meditation. See, we don't know when to do it. We'll be like, man, I'm so frustrated in this car. Then, no, oh, wait, stop it. Stop all of that. Just breathe. If you can breathe, you can get through anything. That's why the breath of life is holy. We speak of holy breath. We just don't know what it is. And so it's all around you the whole time. It's called atmosphere. We're not atmospheres. We're atmosphere, spherical. Move your aspiration, your spirit. Your spirit is aspiration once you pull it up like the asp of a snake. Bringing that body that's so low on the ground to a point where it can erect itself like a building in a 90-degree, 45-degree, pointing your feet out to create that sunlight, that highest beam of light to your brightest form. You are the brightest form of light. You got different forms of it, from the darkness to its light. You're the shadow energy. So how do you reflect energy? You have to sit and tone yourself. You have to tune oneself like a car would be. And we don't have to call it a car anymore. We can call it an apparatus, a vehicle, the horse's wagon. Change up the origins of these words. Don't say I'm tired. Don't say I'm broke down. I'm broken. I ain't got. Don't say these words. These are impaired words. Come up with words that's gonna change your mind of how you feel, the levels of where you want to go to. Instead of saying I'm using it for a pursuit of happiness, it already is happening. You are a nowness. Still speak present. Since you're a gift, start gifting yourself. Lift yourself. Shift yourself. They call you a point of taking a ship. So know you're relate to ships. You're relate to all ships. Know that the shape came from you. That's why you ship your shape. You shape your ship. A ship.
WELOVE
108
FM.
Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got a soul.
Something is
missing. Hey, listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing.
Hey,
giving what you're getting. Knowing what I know in. While the black man's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey,
our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the power that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! We got to fight the power that beats!
Algorithms designed to bounce with health and set the rhyme. Designed to fill your mind now that you realize the prize arrives. We got to pump the stuff to make it tough. From the heart it's the start of work of art to revolutionize. Make a change, something's great.
People,
we are the same, no we're not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't keep telling.
You say, what is this?
All beloved, let's get down to business. Mental self-defense or fitness,
no
rest to show.
You got to call the question, no one.
To make everybody see, in order to fight the power that be.
Fight the power.
Fight the power.
Fight the power.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
We got to fight the power that beats!
fight the power, death beat.